Talking Biotech podcast. It's the weekly podcast about agriculture and medicine with an emphasis on biotechnology and the good things we can do for people and the planet. My name's Kevin Folta. I'm your podcast host. And this week we're going to visit a topic that we've touched on a couple of times, but it's an important one. If we're going to have agriculture, we're going to grow plants, and we're going to make food for 10 billion people, it's going to require fixed nitrogen. Now, nitrogen, when you fix it, well, let's start out with what's nitrogen. You know, nitrogen is in every breath we take. It's something like 70% of the air we breathe. So here's this inert nitrogen, which is not usable by plants, that they are literally bathed in. And yet, agriculture has to apply exogenous nitrogen. We have to apply fertilizers in order to provide enough nitrogen for the plants to use, in order for them to live, grow properly. So this has some edges to it because it takes energy to fix that nitrogen, it takes energy to apply that nitrogen, and then the excess nitrogen ends up either in the ground or even potentially in water. So a number of companies have come up with strategies to attempt to mitigate these problems. And today we're going to talk to Nolan Berg. He's the president and general manager of Exotic North America. That's A-Z-O-T-I-C, Exotic North America. Welcome to the podcast, Nolan.
Thanks, Kevin. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Yeah, it's really nice to talk to you too, because we really are putting another leg on our nitrogen stool here. We've talked about nitrogen in a number of different ways, from plants that have associated bacteria that can fix nitrogen to folks trying to re-engineer microbes to fix more nitrogen. And your story is a little different, but let's start with nitrogen itself. We already mentioned that nitrogen, you know, it's important for increasing production and increasing yields from conventional crops. So why is nitrogen so important?
Yeah, it's critical. It's the invention of nitrogen fertilizer was revolutionary to agriculture. Before this invention by Haber and Bosch, that was early in the 1900s, farmers didn't have a lot of fertility options. They could spread manure and attempt crop rotations, but that kept agriculture at a little better than subsistence farming. The Haber-Bosch invention of nitrogen fertilizer led to an increase in yields in the range of 30 to 50%, which in turn boosted population growth substantially. So I guess that leads to the question of, you know, what exactly is nitrogen doing in a plant that makes it so important for growth and yield? And most importantly, nitrogen is a critical component of chlorophyll. That's the green we see in leaves. And plants use chlorophyll to capture the energy from sunlight through photosynthesis to produce sugars for growth. And that, you know, that just shows how critical it is.
Well, and it's in lots of other stuff too, like every single protein and lots of other molecules that are dependent upon the presence of nitrogen. But what's the problem with Haber-Bosch?
The Haber-Bosch process, I guess, can be credited with feeding the world and helping the world population thrive from the 1.6 billion people that were around in the early 1900s to the 7.7 billion people that are on the planet today, and as you alluded to, Kevin, the 10 billion people that, you know, are going to be right around the corner in our history here. The issue is that fertilizer comes, you know, fertilizer use comes at a cost. Fertilizer manufacturing accounts for approximately 3% of the world's carbon footprint. And nitrogen fertilizer, once applied to fields, can leach, can run off, can gas off, and, you know, the runoff can find itself in rivers, lakes, and oceans, and have the unintended impact of feeding waterborne microorganisms that, in its worst case, can cause dead zones like have been found in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, so there's a lot of downside to the use of nitrogen, at least the indiscriminate use. You know, what isn't taken up by the plant is going somewhere. But how disastrous would it be to, you know, some people say we need to stop use of nitrogen fertilizers altogether and only can go with, well, should say synthetic nitrogen fertilizers. but other types of production, like, you know, organic production, still uses nitrogen fertilizers. But what would be the problem if we lost conventional nitrogen application in the level that we're using it from a synthetic form?
The ramifications would be significant, to say the least. It would be extremely difficult to grow an economically viable crop without synthetic fertilizer. So as soon as a discussion starts moving towards stopping fertilizer use in any given area, you're also talking about the end of commercial agriculture in that area. I would suggest that the more practical solution is to provide farmers options to reduce synthetic fertilizer without compromising yield, and you know, move the discussion towards transition versus an immediate stop, and that's where biotechnology comes in, where biotechnology is providing solutions solutions that provide nitrogen sustainability tools in farmers' fertility toolboxes.
Well, let's talk about that idea. I love the idea of the nitrogen sustainability toolbox. And some of the things that we've talked about on the podcast are the land races of corn that have been discovered in Mexico that have these associated symbionts that help fix nitrogen for the plant. And we've talked with other companies that have microbes that they're engineering to put in new hardware, genetic hardware, to allow that chassis, allow that basic shell of a bacterium to now become nitrogen fixing. So What is Exotic working on? What are you doing, and what is your approach?
To your point, there's a lot of amazing innovations going on in this biotech and biological space. And what Exotic is working on is a product we call Invita. And Invita is a bacteria. It's a specific strain of bacteria, Gluconocetobacter diazotrophicus, which took me probably a couple of years to pronounce correctly. But we call it GD for short. And GD is one little bacteria that does one thing very well. It gets into the plant. It produces nitrogen, fixes nitrogen when and where it's needed the most. It's a naturally occurring food grade microbe that forms a symbiotic relationship with plants and provides the plant with the ability to fix their own nitrogen. We currently have Invita registered in 40 states and counting, and launched the product in the U.S. In spring of 2019, with hundreds of corn growers already trying it out. The reason there's so much interest in it is that our research shows that Invita provides up to a 20% increase in yield if the farmer used normal or recommended fertility levels. And if farmers are looking to cut back their nitrogen, our research has found that a farmer can reduce their nitrogen fertility rates 27% and achieve the same yields as if they'd put on 100% of their regular nitrogen fertility program. And for crops like rice, we found that we can reduce nitrogen up to 50%.
So basically, it's a question of a farmer sitting down and looking at the economics of this. What is the cost of the product, the savings from the nitrogen, and then kind of seeing where that balance floats so that they can see if this is the right application for them?
Exactly. To our earlier discussion about it's likely a transition that's going to go on. I think, one of the biggest things about biotechnology and biologicals is it's new, and it's moving at such a fast pace. It's difficult for farmers to keep up to it. There's lots to wrap their heads around. So what we're finding farmers doing off the top is to apply Invita with their regular fertility program. not too many farmers are willing to cut their nitrogen back 25% and potentially lose all that yield without proving it to themselves. So we tend to find that a grower in their first year will apply Invita on top of 100%, you know, their regular fertility program. But after that, once they've proven it to themselves, then they have the confidence to cut it back. And so it is a 2 or 3 year exercise to really get into that nice balance of less nitrogen without compromising yield.
You mentioned this is a naturally occurring bacterium. Is it something that occurs everywhere in the world, or really is it just on specific types of crops?
Right, yes. So Invita was originally discovered in sugarcane in 1988, so it's endemic to North America. We then spent many years isolating a particular strain of the bacteria that we found to be the most robust, that could survive in the most conditions. And the most unique aspect of this bacteria is that it has a great ability to form a symbiotic relationship with practically any crop we have and any plant. We have yet to find a plant that it does not colonize and does not have a symbiotic a relationship with. So it was discovered in sugarcane, but the practical applications of where we can use Invita is infinite.
Yeah, this brings up a million different questions with me. So let me go at them one by one, maybe. So is this something that's applied as a seed treatment, or is this applied, you spray the plant, or how does this get in?
So Invita is currently in a liquid formulation, and it's applied directly to the seed as a seed treatment or as an in-furrow application. Essentially, we need to get the bacteria directly on the seed, so that when it germinates, the bacteria can enter into the plant and grow with it as it grows. We're currently working on a foliar application, one that could be applied at an early growth stage of the plant. And we're also working on dry formulations that would give even more uses, more possibilities of how to use it.
And the other thing that you said that I kind of caught in the beginning was you said it gets in the plant. And is this an endophytic bacterium that's actually inside the organism?
It is. And that's one of the things that differentiates it from, shall we say, the more well-known nitrogen-fixing bacteria. Some people may be familiar with rhizobia that are found in soybeans, and rhizobia, forms nodules on the outside of the root system of soybeans and helps the plant produce nitrogen throughout the growing season. The one of the most unique things about Invita is that it does get inside the plant. It works its way into the plant intracellularly throughout the plant, and as the plant grows, it grows along with it. So if you get into the challenges of nitrogen and the inefficiencies, the inherent inefficiencies of nitrogen use within a plant, you start thinking about a plant has to pull up nitrogen from the soil, and it has to use water, and it has to use energy to pull up nitrogen from the soil and get it to the actively growing parts of the plant. That's issue number one. Issue number two is that most of that nitrogen is available right at seeding, and after seeding, some of that nitrogen leaches away in the soil, gases off from the soil, and the plant needs that nitrogen when it's getting into grain fill in the latter half of the growing season. So, long story short, is the plant is up against needing it needs the nitrogen in the leaves, and it needs it later in the season, and that's the opposite of what synthetic nitrogen provides it. Back to Invita, Invita grows with the plant. It grows and gets itself into every cell within the plant. So you have a natural source of nitrogen sitting right in the plant cells, right beside the chloroplasts, as they are demanding nitrogen for growth. So it's exactly where it's needed. And it's growing throughout the season. So you have this natural source of nitrogen available in the plant throughout the growing season. So all of a sudden, the issues of not having nitrogen where it's needed and when it's needed go away. Invita puts it exactly where it's needed and when it's needed.
So where does it get the nitrogen? I mean, you're inside a plant. I know there are air spaces. Certainly stomata will open up and give you air that, you know, solubilizes inside the matrix of this, of the apoplast and stuff. But is there, how is it getting access to the nitrogen it needs inside the cell?
Well, you're exactly right. It's as the plant is bringing in CO2 through the stomata to in its natural processes, it's also bringing in nitrogen. And as you alluded to earlier, nitrogen is basically 70-80% of the atmosphere. So there's a very available source of nitrogen that is getting into the plant. It just until the introduction of Invita to put it in the cells of the plant, there was nothing that plants like corn or soybeans corn and rice and wheat could do.
So all this is really fascinating. We're talking about how to be able to take nitrogen from the atmosphere, fix it with bacteria that live inside the plant, a bacterium called GD, because I didn't catch its whole name. We're speaking with Nolan Berg. He's the president and general manager of Azotic North America. This is the Talking Biotech Podcast, and we'll be back in just a moment.
The Talking Biotech Podcast is the sole production of Kevin Folza. The opinions expressed are those of him and his guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of the University of Florida or the faculty of the Horticultural Sciences Department, its staff, students, custodians, maintenance folks, ladies in the cafeteria, or anybody else. But then again, they probably do. It is science, after all. But let it be said that this podcast is independent of the University of Florida in every way you can imagine, except that the host works there, at least for the time being. This podcast was recorded, produced, promoted, and distributed on personal time, using personal equipment, and personal hygiene products most of the time. The website and hosting are paid 100% by Kevin Folta personally. Now, as you might guess, there is a good rationale for having to make these very clear statements. Suffice it to say, the enemies of science and reason continue to exert unfortunate pressures that threaten the long-term sustainability of this educational vehicle. And now, back to the podcast.
And now we're back on the Talking Biotech Podcast. We're speaking with Nolan Berg. He's the president and general manager of Azotic North America. We're talking about their product called Invita. And Invita is a special strain of a bacterium that's found everywhere that has been shown to take up residence within the plants and within the cell and fix nitrogen on site. And the ramifications of this are pretty obvious. If we can fix more nitrogen within the plant, we don't have to apply fertilizers. So we're going back to the questions on this. And when we look at Invita, is it really just a single bacterium, or are these multiple bacterium working together?
No, it's for Invita, it's a single bacterium. It is Gluconocetobacter diazotrophicus, and it took us many years to isolate the most robust strain that could work across all sorts of environmental conditions and across all as many crops as we've been able to test it upon. So a lot of the biological solutions that are out there become a mix or a consortia of bacteria. Little bacteria stands strongly on its own two feet. It by itself, it can replace 27% of the nitrogen needs of a corn plant and up to 50% of a rice plant.
Well, this is really intriguing, but there's one obvious limitation for me that comes to mind with what plants you can apply it to. I know a lot of plants have problems with bacterial infections that are controlled with antimicrobials, both organic and conventional, that you're using things like copper or, spectinomycin, controlling fire blight and other types of problems in fruit trees. So when you apply an exogenous control for antimicrobial treatment, does this affect the GD bacteria?
It's a great question. It's we've done a lot of testing across different seed treatments, and as you point out, a lot of these seed treatments have antibacterial and antifungal elements to it. And to date, we have yet to find a leading seed treatment on corn that has any significant impact on the GD, on the Invita getting in. And part of that is we need to get it on the seed, but the GD is alive and around the root system for a number of days while it is germinating. So our theory is, as long as we have enough of it around and as long as the germinating rootlets can come in contact with the bacteria, it doesn't take much to get in and to colonize. We just have to make sure we get some in the plant. And so far, it seems that the leading seed treatments we work very well with.
Yeah, I guess the question I was going for was more like, once that's in and you have a mm-hmm. good establishment of the Invita bacteria inside the plant and it's doing its thing, it's fixing nitrogen, everything's going great. And then you have a few humid days in a row and you get an outbreak of fire blight or a xanthomonas.
Oh.
Now the farmer has to come along and apply something to control the bacterium that, regardless of nitrogen fixation, is causing symptoms in the plant. And so is that now make your nitrogen fixing scheme susceptible to the antibiotic treatment?
Right. It's a great question, and the answer I have is I don't know. We have yet to run into a situation where that has occurred. It certainly has been things that we've talked about, but haven't got into our replicated trials yet, and we have yet to run into a farmer that. That has had that application on top of that. Now, I guess as I just think about it hypothetically, it would basically come down to the timing of that application. If it did end up having an impact on the GD, there would certainly be all the benefits of nitrogen fixation up to that point. And what I'm not certain about is what it would do to the GD. Would we be have enough in there? Would there be efficacy against our particular bacteria? These are all questions that we would need to look into. But it is a great question.
It comes to mind for me because I use things at my space. We have some acreage where we use double nickel, and other types of biologicals that work really well. But once in a while, you'll get an outbreak of something that you have to control that now targets your biological mm-hmm. control. So it's kind of like crop protection on top of crop protection pulling in two different directions. But one thing you could do is what if you were to genetically engineer it so that it would be immune from a bacterial, an antibiotic treatment? And now there's all kinds of controversy around that. But so just to be clear, this is not genetically engineered. This is just a natural strain.
Correct. So, and I think to some of your other podcasts, and you alluded to them at the beginning of this program, there's quite a few innovations out there that are modified, and you know, you use the term that, you know, creating a chassis to bring the technology into the plants and so on. So there absolutely is a possibility to do that with GD here with Invita. At this point, we've had no need to modify it, and because we haven't had to modify it, that makes registration and regulatory constraints much easier, and it makes it much quicker for us to bring the product to market. So we don't have any plans for modification at this point, but to your point, I think there is, if we ran into a hurdle like that, there would certainly be opportunities to mitigate that through modification.
But does it have to go through some sort of approval process? I mean, it's a bacterium that you're culturing. It's a different strain of the bacterium that's obviously been under some other levels of selection to make it a little more virulent and a little more, I want to say virulent because it's not a pathogen, but something to be a little more aggressive right. about being able to form a symbiotic relationship. You know, is there any special considerations for that? And how did that approval process work?
Yeah, so for the U.S., it is regulated on a state-by-state basis, and the fact that Invita is a natural bacteria, that it's food grade, and it's not modified, and it does not persist in the environment after the growing season, shows that it's safe, and regulators see that as well. It is a gram-negative bacteria, so it does not form any spores. It does not overwinter. So, you know, there's pros and cons to that from a regulatory point of view. It does not persist. It enters into the crop at the beginning of the season, and in most places in the United States, when some form of winter comes, that's the end of the Invita for the year. So despite our selection of a very robust form of it, it is completely safe, and the regulators have treated it that way.
Has the organic production community embraced this innovation?
They have, yes. Invita has a nice fit in organic agriculture. We're currently working on our OMRI certification. Organic growers of many crops have been really excited about it. And honestly, the only thing that's been keeping us from being certified right now is there's just so many opportunities for us, to chase at the moment. And right now we're focused on the 90 million acres of corn in the United States, and the approximately 90 million acres of soybeans as well in the United States.
So this is a really exciting innovation, and we can imagine ways that it would have practical effects on the farm. But how do you look at this, or how does your company look at this in the broader sense, say in mitigating climate challenge or maybe feeding the developing world?
Yeah, I think this, what you just said is really the opportunity here. It is, you know, up until this point, there's been two discussions going on with respect to agriculture, and one has been, you know, increasing the productivity, the yields, and feeding the world, and feeding a world that with 10 billion people. And then there's been this separate but parallel discussion about the environment and the carbon footprint and climate change. And these topics have often, even though they run parallel, don't often cross together in a productive way. The technologies that we're talking about and our product Invita allow these two discussions to work together without compromise. Finally, there's not a question about should we be productive or should we be sustainable. The conversation now is how do we become productive and sustainable? And products like Invita allow those discussions to happen.
I'm going to ask kind of a selfish question. Is this available for the small user? Like, say, somebody who might be in rural Florida who has, you know, 4 or 5 acres of crops?
Yeah, it's so the answer is it depends. And it comes back to in some states our current registration may cover you know, small crops, home and garden uses, but in other states it would definitely require a separate submission. At this stage, we're only recommending it on crops that we have extensive research on. Even though we have yet to see any crop that it cannot colonize. I do know that it looks great on tomatoes. We've done lots of work on tomatoes and it looks great. It has a tremendous impact on that. But if any of your listeners have any specific questions about any niche crops or home and garden or any specific states, they're welcome to contact us and we can give them specific answers.
Well, I'm dying to give it a try. We grow everything from, you know, tree crops all the way through annuals through, you know, we have multiple seasons here in Florida, and nitrogen is a problem because we have such sandy soil that anything that you apply eventually goes right through. So you have to be extremely careful with the amount you put on, and you frequently find yourself in nitrate or nitrogen limitation. And so this just seems like such a no-brainer to me and really something that should have wide scale buy-in. So, you know, why is it that we don't see this everywhere? Is it just because it's so new?
I think so. It's new to commercial agriculture. It's new to home and garden. It's new. It's just plainly new. And so the markets and all the stakeholders have to wrap their heads around it. And I guess one of the biggest things that we're facing with biologicals in general is that there's a lot of innovation. There's a lot of technology that looks really good in the lab, and you know, there's the old adage of farming that, you know, farming is like running a factory without a roof. And if you don't have something over your head, you're open to all the elements. And A lot of these microbes, as soon as you put them in, you know, the infinite, you know, especially in the soil system, the infinite amount of soil textures and pH and temperatures and fertility levels and you name it, what looks good in the lab starts to be less practical in reality. And so, we've been working with Invita since 1988. We've been working commercially with it, in small scale trials and large scale trials since 2012. And it's literally taken us this long. It's taken us decades to get to a commercially viable formulation that is going to work across conditions, across crops, across soils, across the infinite curveballs that Mother Nature throws at it. So I think, you know, back to your question, you know, why aren't we seeing more of this? I think just the infinite variability of what goes on in a commercial agriculture system is one of the biggest hurdles faced by all of this technology, and that's what we've been working on for the last 20 or 30 years.
Well, it's super exciting, and it's something that when I think about it from a sustainability standpoint, it checks some of the boxes. It not only is good for the environment, but it also helps farmer economy. And, you know, those two things are really important when we start thinking about the, you know, $10 billion that'll be here in 2050. So if people wanted to learn more about your products or find you on social media, where could they learn more?
Yeah, you bet. So on the web, they can find us at, you can Google Azotic North America. That's A-Z-O-T-I-C, North America. On Facebook, you can search Invita, and that's E-N-V-I-T-A. And on Twitter, you can search Azotic N-A for North America, or search Invita.
Well, thank you very much for joining me. It's Nolan Berg from Azotic North America with some solutions for how the future may get its nitrogen into its crops. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Kevin. It was my pleasure.
And as always, thank you for joining me on the Talking Biotech podcast. Share this story. Talk about the future edges of sustainability and how the changing of the way we fertilize plants could be built into a bacterium that lives within the plant itself. These are exciting innovations that will change our sustainability footprint. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Talking Biotech podcast. Send your suggestions for guests, comments, or questions to talkingbiotech@gmail.com. Please write a review of this podcast on iTunes and recommend it to a friend. More downloads help us reach a wider audience with science.